We start with a collision between art and literature. It's common to have pictures of authors on the walls of the National Portrait Gallery, but the latest exhibition is unusual because the literary figures in the pictures, a solemn T.S. Eliot, a haughty Ezra Pound, a spindly Virginia Woolf, were painted by an artist who was himself a successful writer. Wyndham Lewis wrote novels and polemics, which are now largely ignored, not least because of his 1931 book Hitler, praising the new German leader, and other contentious essays on immigration and population. But even as his books have dropped from library shelves, his portraits have become more firmly attached to gallery walls. Although when I looked at the paintings with the novelist A.S. Byatt, author of the Man Booker Prize-winning Possession, I suggested that Wyndham Lewis's literature is hard to find in bookshops, including the memoir Blasting and Bombardiering that she was holding, but his pictures are well represented there. Many portraits, including his T.S. Eliot, have been used on the covers of biographies.
They are very powerful images in all cases, both of the writer and of the person. You feel that he was looking at T.S. Eliot, but also he knew the poetry very well, and he's looking at the man who wrote that poetry. And there's a wonderful portrait at the other end of the room of Rebecca West, which Walter Sickert actually wrote to him and said, "This is the greatest portrait ever drawn," which it isn't. But one of the things he's very good at is using the curling and petal-like forms of sleeves and cuffs and collars, and he's woven that into curling and petal-like forms in this very, very strong female face.
And the first of his two portraits of T.S. Eliot, which we're sitting in front of, is quite a substantial scandal in English artistic history, because 70 years ago the Royal Academy turned it down. They claimed it was because of the background, because there are two birds and there's what appears to be a phallic symbol. But it seems pretty shocking that this portrait could have been rejected, because it's become so connected now with our view of T.S. Eliot.
Yes, no, it was obviously ludicrous that it was rejected, but throughout the whole of its history, the Royal Academy's rejection of things has been ludicrous. It has a sort of beautiful history of making wrong decisions. The thing they apparently objected to were the kind of columnar objects behind Eliot's brooding head, and one of them is a kind of termite nest and or a phallus on the one hand, and the other one is like a nest or pebbles or mud. And on the top of them, both of them, there are really ridiculous little children's book birds sort of tweeting away. And I've tried to think what sort of bird he thought he was doing, because these seem to me to be comic birds. They're not Japanese birds, which I thought they might be. They're not the kind of birds that are not singing in the desert in the wasteland. They seem irrelevant to anything. Perhaps he just wanted to put them in.
We often talk about artists knowing their limitations, and there's quite a strong hint in these paintings that he knew what he wasn't good at, because the last painting he ever did, which was his second painting of T.S. Eliot, and they've set them up so that they face each other across the gallery. Rather poignantly, by then, I think Wyndham Lewis couldn't have looked that far across the gallery because his eyesight had failed so badly. But he's got Eliot's hands hidden behind his knees. Clearly, he had a problem with hands, didn't he?
He had a huge problem with hands, and Pound's hands are just sort of goatskin-coloured dangling pieces of flesh with no shape to them at all. And, of course, this was particularly difficult in the case of Edith Sitwell, who is known to have felt that she was an extremely ugly woman who had beautiful hands. And his big painting of her, which is one of his masterpieces, he has managed to cover the whole of the space where her hands and, indeed, arms would have been with a kind of mosaic, very brilliantly coloured pattern, like it's possibly a silk scarf. And the people who wrote the catalogue for the gallery obviously feel that he did this partly to annoy her. And in other portraits of her, there she sits with her hands covered with encrustations of Elizabethan rings. And he's turned her into an abstract painting.
Also, another part of the body, it's a common place of art criticism that you have to be able to do eyes if you paint portraits. But for a large part of his career, he simply omits the eyes. He leaves them blank.
Yes, he had a rationale for this, which was that portraits are there as images of objects and not to reflect personality, which when he does reflect personality, you can see he perfectly well could do. But Pound, for instance, has blank eyes as though he was a sculpture, not a painting or a drawing. And this works extremely well, partly because you feel that Pound's life, well, the poetic part was very inner. The things he is good at, he's terribly good at that area of the male body between the paunch and the ankle. And there's a black chalk picture of Pound in which Pound is sitting sprawling with his legs at all sorts of very long-legged American angles.
Also, T.S. Eliot's legs behind us are very well done, aren't they?
Yes, and all the Eliot portraits, you can see that Eliot is worried about having a kind of little banker's belly sticking out under his waistcoat, which he is wearing. But Wyndham Lewis is terribly good at the way trousers crease in at the top of the thigh. He gets that right time after time.
There are so many little stories behind these paintings. It's relatively rare to see an unfinished painting, and it's a very poignant story. Edwin Evans, who's now forgotten music critic, whose friends got together and commissioned a portrait by Wyndham Lewis, and they ran out of money, and so he simply stopped, which shows a certain panache.
Yes, he seems to have often stopped when he's in Blasting and Bombardiering. He's describing his career as a painter, and he says people ask you for a painting and you start painting it and then the cheque never comes, which would have paid for the rent of the studio while you were painting it. And he obviously felt in that case he would just give up, whereas I think other artists felt that having started, they would go on. And he has a long complaint about painting very interesting looking women and realising they want to be depicted as society beauties and then they won't pay either. So I think it was a mixture of artistic and human courage to hand the painting over unfinished. And again, I believe that one lacks hands.
So he stopped while he was ahead on that one, we think. This exhibition is an example, and it will enhance it, but his reputation as a painter is rising now, is strong.
Yes, I think it is, and I think it should be. I think the vorticism, the more you look at it, the more interesting it is. The shapes in vorticism I find more exciting than cubism. And he knew what he was doing. A lot of his semi-abstract paintings are immensely inventive and constructive. I'd like to say a word also about his self-portraits, because he presented himself as an object. And there's that very famous self-portrait as a tyro. And a tyro is a kind of busy modern person that he didn't at all like. And there he is for the only time ever with these awful pushy teeth standing out in his crazy face. And in Blasting and Bombardiering, he does the same thing with photographs. There's an immensely sensitive photograph of Mr. Wyndham Lewis with a thoughtful look and glasses and a pipe under a wide-brimmed hat. And over the page, you have a picture of Bombardier Wyndham Lewis and his in charge of his gun crew with a clipped little military mustache. You wouldn't know it was the same man. He could make himself into anything. And it works better, I think, much better visually than it does when he's trying to put on several voices in writing.
A.S. Byatt, Wyndham Lewis Portraits, opens at the National Portrait Gallery in London tomorrow and runs until the 19th of October.